football on off the ball.
There was an ad for 4 tickets to the final at a cost of $2.3 million each. $2.3 million what? Each for a ticket to the final, yeah.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rachel Sheehan joins us in studio. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks, Mick. How are things?
Not too bad. There's a bit to get to, but tell us about Fairlaw.
Yeah, Fairlaw. It's Fairlaw. It seems like the most non-brainer idea you've ever heard, and I can't believe it hasn't been a thing before. It's basically the first of its kind Gaelic Games kit designed for girls and women specifically. Mm. So the founder, Margaret Walsh, she's a physio. She's been working as a physio for the last 20 years, and she'd noticed, and we've all heard about it, the drop off in girls, especially when they get to like teenage years and puberty hits. Their bodies are changing, shorts maybe don't fit them like they used to, they're getting their period, and sport is often one of the first things to go in that kind of that scene, because it's the easiest one to say, look, there's a bit of a barrier there, I won't do it. So she's just brought out a really simple solution. It's like a range of shorts. There's 4 types. The first, most importantly, they all look exactly like your classic GA shorts. Like, you'd never really notice they're different, but they're just cut slightly differently. Mm. Like they sit a little bit higher and they're slightly longer. That's the first type. The second, they've got like a built-in compression short. You know, you often see even the lads wearing those undershorts below the shorts. So these are just built in.
Mm.
The third, they're high-waisted. We love a high-waisted anything. You know, I know the low-rise Y2K fashion is coming back in, but keep it at bay. And that's proven really popular with people who are maybe coming back after having a baby, because again, they look the exact same as all the other shorts, but you've just got that added little bit of protection. And the final pair, they're like, if you're on your period, they've got like a built-in underwear, just, and especially for that younger cohort of girls who are maybe like, it's such an easy decision to say, oh, I'm just not going to play today because I'm feeling uncomfortable. And you know, they've done a lot bringing in colored shorts as opposed to white shorts, which was a big deal, but this is just adding that little extra bit of security and safety and just saying like, right, I'm going to be comfortable here. And it's really combating the drop off of younger girls, but also just making everyone feel a little bit more comfortable.
Exactly. And it's just such a basic thing, isn't it? Like, and it's funny because you mentioned when we talked the scorched shorts thing, and it's like, you know, it's like, what do you wear training? Just wear like GEA shorts, men's GEA shorts. It's like It is incredible that the more we talk about it in sport, the more you see it in wider society, how much of the world is set up for men. It is unbelievable. I mean, there was a piece about the ACLs and why women get so many ACL injuries. And basically, it's because all the medical science that goes into, basically all medical science, but the, you know, even in terms of like things like heart attacks, all the medical science is studied on men. And it doesn't, and women's bodies react differently. And it's like, you know, because of that, there isn't as good care for a woman having a heart attack as there is for a man. Like, it's absolutely bananas. But say on this, like, most basic thing, it took us years to even accept that women shouldn't have to wear white shorts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that could be something different. It is mad that it's taken so long for this, but it sounds great. Like, and it just does sound like that everything we can do to stop that teenage drop-off is just key. And this actually sounds like a massive step, like.
A massive step, and just such an easy one as well. It's funny when you say that. I had Margaret in studio during the week and we were talking about that, how the world is built for men. And not in a bad way, it's just the way it was.
It is a little bit in a bad way. Like.
For some things, like, you know, for the GA shorts, it's not a bad way because it's just they play it first.
Yes.
You know, so it's not a complaint in any way. And it's even the sizing, it's so funny. You go on and it's women's sizing. It's like, oh, you're 8, 10, 12s, whereas all the O'Neill shorts come in waist inches. Yeah. And like, anytime you're going to order, you're like, what size am I again? Because you never deal with those kind of measurements. Like, you know, I don't know what I am getting out the measuring tape. So it's really simple, really good solution. Only launched 2 weeks ago. And when she was in studio during the week, I did ask her about how the feedback is going so far.
The feedback has been insane. Yeah, maybe I'll be emotional now. No, reflecting on it, I suppose the big thing is from girls, they are all like, thanks. They're all really grateful. Do you know, they're like, thanks for just caring, or thanks for listening, or this is really going to help. Loads of orders coming in, I noticed, and they're men's names, and they're buying the period shorts, and they're like, you know, for smaller sizes. And I'm thinking, that's more than likely a dad buying these for his daughter, which is like really cool.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Like, that's just amazing. Like, what I want Fairlaw to be is that kind of, like, the whole message is to give girls a voice and a choice and to create change. And I think that's all the elements I wanted to bring into it, and that's definitely happening. Like, if men are buying period shorts for their daughter, that's creating a change. If girls feel that they have a choice, you know, then they also feel like they have a voice or they've been listened to.
Yeah. Look, that's a really good news story. It's also a really good business idea. They're going to be huge and, like, you know, they're going to make a lot of money, and fair play to them. Fair play to Fairla. Tell us about some other stuff going on. I know the you were at the PwC GPA Player of the Month for April. Nice when we're having people coming the other way from AFLW as opposed to the wretched loss of talents that we've had over the last few years.
Yeah, so often I've sat in here and just named out so many good intercounty players and just saying, but they're heading off to Australia, but we're seeing some coming back. And Blaheen Mackin, she's just such a talent. And in fairness to her, she's played the last four seasons with the Melbourne Demons, but she's also played with Armagh as well.
Yeah.
So it's a...
She's fitting in both, yeah.
It's a credit to how high she's seen over in Australia. I mean, she won a grand final in her rookie year. She scored a goal in the grand final. So they let her miss some pre-season and still come home and play with Armagh. So it's not like we've been missing her on the intercounty scene as such, but just to hear someone say that, no, I'm not going back over, I'm fully committed to the intercounty season this year. And as well, just to hear her talking about her excitement to play for her club, because that's the one thing that she has been missing. She hasn't been able to play for her club. So it's the Mackins in general at the moment. Really,
Amy, we all know, obviously, Kieran as well, yeah.
Good news stories. Her sister and her brother both coming back from both having back-to-back ACL injuries, and they're both back playing with Armagh this year. And Amy featured a little bit last year, but like not fully.
And she's one of the premier players in the game. Like, if she gets going again, like, you know what I mean? That puts Armagh in contention. Like, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, between them, they scored 6 points the last day in the Ulster Championship against Donegal. So even having both of them back in the field for Armagh is going to be huge. I'd be shuddering to think of a club team coming up against them. But I was asking her about the decision to just come back to Ireland and not play, and whether it's something that plays in the back of your mind, knowing that you have to go over to Australia as soon as you might, you know, get knocked out of the championship in Ireland.
I'm definitely content with my decision and content with where I'm at, and I'm happy with what I've decided. So it is definitely settling, and I think that is probably the main thing. Like, obviously going back and forth was ideal, like it was perfect. I couldn't have asked for more from Melbourne or from Armagh or from my club. Like, everyone was so supportive, but you are a bit unsettled. Like, you're back and forth, you're not in one place for the full year, and you know, you can't really set up fully either, like, you know, that sort of way. So I definitely feel more settled and like really excited for this championship campaign, I suppose, because I don't have that feeling of for a beat I'm on a flight, or, you know, to start saying goodbyes, and there's all the emotion around that. And I can just solely focus on Armagh, and then, not that you weren't, but it was definitely in your subconscious, like, you know, you had to think about it because you have another competition with a team that needs you to be at your best as well. I'm really happy now that I can just sort of look forward to this championship campaign and then look forward to the club season after that, which is probably the main thing, like, because I never missed anything with Armagh. I was always there, and although that wee factor was there at the back end, I never missed a game because of Australia. It was only ever because of injuries. But the club, like, I haven't played there in 5 years, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's important as well, isn't it? Like, it's all very well talking about the intercounty scene, but, you know, you haven't played for your club in 5 years because you're over in Melbourne. You know, that's a big change in life. But
to hear her talking about her dad, that was one of the best things. Her dad was saying, I am so excited to see Ollie back in green and playing for the club, and they live really close to the pitch, and you could see it in her. She was so, so excited to get back at the thought of playing with people you grew up with. And the shameless plug, but the full interview is available on YouTube and Spotify, and she speaks about how it's been so long since she's played with the club. She's coming back now and she's playing with girls that she used to babysit, and she's like, I'm being marked by a corner forward at training, and he used to change her nappy. Like, you know, it's the generations that you'd see at the club level is just, it is different. But one thing she spoke about over in Australia, and it had never really dawned on me, and be interested to see what you say about it, Keith, that the final whistle would blow over big matches in Australia and all the players over there would have their families coming over to them. And she said it's just never something that you could replicate. And she might have one family member coming over to watch the game, but that feeling of being able to interact with your loved ones at the end of the full-time whistle. And did you ever have that where you were away and maybe you didn't even have people in the crowd or people weren't allowed to come down to the pitch and you can see other people having that and like you just feel like you're missing out on something?
Yeah, my mother and father, like I have two brothers and two sisters as well, so a pretty big family. So they didn't come over to England an awful lot. I remember one that broke me heart, and I'm not giving out about it. I remember Sam Allardyce told me on the Friday afternoon that I'd be starting against Liverpool on the Saturday in Anfield, and there was a phone call home to my father saying, look, I'm starting tomorrow. And he couldn't make, you know, the kids have other things and X, Y, or Z. He just couldn't move it. But I remember ringing my friends, and my friends come over and sat in the Liverpool end, and yeah, it was really good, but there is moments where you think, I wish there was people here I could, you know, share this with. But yeah, it's not really something I ever give too much thought to, because as soon as you're in the dressing room, you're on FaceTime, you're having a bit of a chat anyway. And yeah, well, it wasn't something, it's something I would have loved to have an awful lot more of. Even I ended up getting 6 caps for Ireland. I started one game, and that was the only game that my mother and father actually seen me play for Ireland, because the last would have been like a 15 minute cameo towards the end. And anybody who knows the Aviva will know that the players lounge, the bar opens about 20 minutes before the end of kickoff. So every time I come on, my mother and father are already in the bar swamping the points of Guinness. So I'd be come into the bar and they'd go a hard look, like, what do you mean I played the last 5 minutes? And you go, did you? We know, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. So, no, they didn't get to see me playing an awful lot, but yeah, once you're a professional, it's just hard to get swept under the carpet.
I do wonder, is that different as well? Because like footballers, like they move away so young, and it's all, whereas like with GAA players, you're always like, your bread and butter is always the club. But even with the county, it's like, there's very few matches in the county game that doesn't end up with everybody out on the pitch. You know what I mean? It's literally just Cork and Croke Park, really. Every other game, kids will swamp out. You get, but you will meet your family and you will meet people, and you get, I'd say you get very used to that.
Yeah, and
so when she goes over to Australia and suddenly that's not there, but the Aussies are all doing it, it's something missing then, you know?
Yeah, and especially it's like, it's who you want to debrief with after, like, all of the technical talk with the teammates is fine, but if you've got someone that you're used to, especially like, you know, usually a parent, you know, for me, it's my dad, you'd always just be waiting to say, I can't wait to see what he thought of that or what he thought of this. And especially if you're in Australia, like someone, I know they're staying up watching it, but like the face them probably just wouldn't have the same impact as getting to speak to them directly in the moment, especially if it's a big win.
I couldn't think of anything worse, debriefing with my father.
Jesus. Oh, same. Well, now, Keith, it really depends on how the match went.
Yeah, either way, even if I won, lost. I remember when I was saying, I got sent off against West Ham, my mother and father come over for that game, and the players' lounge in Turf Moor is up the steps and in a way a bit. So I come up the steps, obviously with my tail between my legs, just been sent off. And I come into the players' lounge and everybody else's mother and father turned around and sort of went, ah, there's Keith. My mother and father went, you gobshite, you. What did you do? Why did you click his heels? And just thought, I'm going to invite these over anymore. Now it's it can be quite humbling at times as well, your own family.
That's the Dublin-ness, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're not. that's how they show love.
Yeah, keep wishing for like the 1,000 miles between him and his family. Yeah. Should have played in Australia, Keith.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
There you go. You were also speaking to Lorna McNamara from Clare.
Yeah, standard bearers in the county at the moment, Mick.
Absolutely.
You know, they're the only ones bringing home some silverware.
Well, yeah, watched that the league final, and I thought it was a brilliant performance and a brilliant display. And then even just seeing the kind of result, as much as it was a loss against Waterford, it did kind of show that they've elevated a level, because Waterford just have been a good bit ahead, I would say, over the last few years. But for them to be now kind of basically at the, you know, in the same standard of them, shows that they have taken a jump. Like,
oh, completely. I mean, yeah. Waterford beat them last year in the All-Ireland quarterfinal by 10 points, and Clare played really well that day. It's not even that they kind of really willed it, they really put it up to them. So to have the Division 1A champions beat the Division 1B champions, it took extra time to separate them. It shows that that gulf between all of the teams is really minimising, and I couldn't get over how good Clare were that day against Dublin in the league
Brilliant,
final.
Weren't they? Yeah, it was a really, like, it was a kind of an eye-opening one, I suppose, when you haven't seen too much of the Camogie team, like, you know, to sort of say, oh wow, this is a team to actually watch now, like, as opposed to kind of one of the up-and-coming, again, Division 2 kind of style teams.
The confidence, like, you know, the confidence they had was insane.
But Lorna sticks out a mile as well. Like.
Yeah, and she missed last year with injury, and she's still kind of struggling with an injury. She said it is going to be ongoing. It's like, it's just something that she's going to have to manage.
Stephen Bennett style, kind of like, you're just always going
to
have it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like, she's still so young, and she had surgery last year to try and combat it, but they're still not sure if it'll work. But, you know, she notched 2-6 in the league final. She was overall scorer in the league, not only just from play, but from freeze as well. And she does, she stands out, like, she's a cut above the rest. But I was asking her about her free taking, because in that game against Waterford, it was like the 59th minute, they were down a point, and she leveled it with a free that she had. And we'd been speaking so much recently about free takers and their setup, and do they take inspiration from other players. So it was interesting to hear her take on it.
Playing in the league, we got a lot of confidence from those games, particularly the Dublin and Limerick games, just knowing that we can kind of, you know, go down to the wire and pull it out of the bag when we need to. And again, like, you never really know how good you're going until you play a 1A team. And so, you know, we were happy with that performance that we put in, that we brought them to extra time and probably had chances to win it as well. And, you know, happy with our performance, but also disappointed because we know we could have won too. Enjoying it a lot more. Yeah. I think I came back this year with a new appreciation for it. It's mentally, really, like, you know, I obviously loved playing the game before I was injured, but afterwards you kind of just realize, geez, not every game is kind of guaranteed. So yeah, the first thing I do go out on the pitch is just smile and just be happy to be there, to be honest.
Yeah, speaking there, she was just saying about the injury and how she's got like a little bit more of an appreciation for it, and didn't actually go through her free taking routine there because I sent on the wrong clip.
There you go.
And that's on me.
That's all right, because that means people who are dying to hear about the free taking clip can go and listen to the podcast or watch it on YouTube. Yeah.
Exactly. Basically, she was saying that she's had it in place since she was about 14 years old and she hasn't really varied since then.
Yeah.
Would you have been the same, Keats?
Yeah, little things, but I see an awful lot of these free takers and all and think there's an awful lot of fluff here, an awful lot of, like, you know, taking our time. It just kicked the ball over the bar. And I know it's difficult. Football is a little bit different because you can set it out in a certain point and you know it's going to come back in with the guard balls. They're so heavy, they don't come back in. It's more wind assisted. But, you know, I never had any mad set routine. I just ran over and took it as quick as I could, really.
Yeah. The best way I ever heard it described was, we had a Saturday panel years and years ago. MJ Tierney used to be a free taker for Leash. Said that he had a fairly elaborate one, and he used to get a bit of slagging for it and everything, you know. But he said that the way he would think of it is, if he has four things to do before he kicks a free, then he doesn't really have any room in his head for anything else. So if it's in training and he's doing these four things, that's, and then he kicks the ball. Whereas if he's in Croke Park and it's a Leinster final and it's a tough kick to win it, he's not thinking, if I don't get this, I'm going to be a villain, or if I'm going to get it, because I still have to pick up the grass, check the wind, do the two steps, yeah, whatever. You know, and from his point of view, I completely got what he meant, you know?
Yeah, it's familiar.
And everybody's going to be different as well in terms of how they, some people would almost like to say, this is a big kick, this is more important, I need to have extra pressure on it, you know?
Yeah, well, a lot of set pieces with soccer, you're not actually going for goal as well. You'd be delivering it into a certain place or trying to pick somebody out in a certain area. So there is little nuances in the difference, but... Yeah, I never got the whole, you know, taking 45 seconds or a minute to get it in. And I fully understand that everybody be saying, have you not watched our own team, Arsenal, take an age to get balls into the box? But yeah, I'd rather the game just be quickened up. And I'm talking about soccer now, not but no massive routine myself in terms of set pieces.
Big weekend this weekend,
especially this evening. Two provincial finals up for grabs. So the Ulster final, Antrim are taking on Down. And a huge Leinster final up this evening in the Camogie, Wexford and Dublin. I was so surprised when I actually read it. Dublin, it's been 39 years since they last won a Leinster Camogie title.
Wow.
And Wexford, it's been 10 years. So 39 years.
It feels like Dublin are always been a relevant factor in in Camogie, at least in the last kind of 10, 15 years or so. So that's a big surprise.
Yeah, and you just forget the dominance that with Kilkenny, they were going for their eighth in a row this year. There was 2 years where it didn't happen because of COVID. And before that, there was such a period of dominance for Wexford. So they're still waiting. It'll be 10 years now since they've won it. So either way, a Dublin or a Wexford win is going to be huge.
And do you know something that's actually worth mentioning? Because we had a conversation about promotion around games a lot of the time and stuff like that. I've had a lot of ads, and I'm not exactly sure where they're coming from or why they're like, whether it's just being targeted at me as a GAA fan or whatever, but sure, that's what you want as well. I've had a lot of ads in my feeds over the last few days for this game, which
great.
I think is brilliant, you know, because somebody's putting it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know whether, I think it might be the Dublin County Board, to be honest, that are kind of feeding this game. But like, you know, there's definitely, I think, if other people are seeing that, then there is a more of an expectation, there's more of an anticipation, and it's levels as well. It's the people who will take that information and go to the game. There's people who will take that information and watch a game they wouldn't have otherwise watched. There's people who will take that information and maybe they'll, you know, check out who won even. And if you know what I mean, if you're just starting, it depends what step you're already on almost, you know?
Yeah, it's like a gateway, you know, 100%,
just
step by step. So it's huge. And as well, Jerry McQuaid, who's in charge of Wexford now, would have been in charge of the coaching team on that historic team that won three All-Irelands in a row back in 2010. But for the previous 3 years, he was the Dublin manager. So there's going to be a lot of mind games going on, I'd say, because he'll know exactly how they're going to set up. When he was in charge of Dublin, he brought in Mags Darcy, the legendary goalkeeper, and she's still involved with Dublin. So there'll be so many tactical pieces to think about it this evening. I probably still fancy Dublin, like they're going really well.
Yeah.
But just with that added factor, it'll be really interesting to see how Wexford set up against them, because I mean, he knows them inside out. There's that little bit of added bite as well.
Nice.
Absolutely. And then in the football side of things?
Football side of things, yeah. Across the country, we had the Connacht final last week and Galway edged out Mayo by a goal, and we've got games in Ulster. So Armagh are taking on Tyrone. In Munster, we've got Kerry and Cork. They're playing before the Munster final down in Killarney. It's doubleheader. So if you are going down to the football, there's playing Kerry, get down early to watch the ladies. They're playing Kerry as well.
Cork are minnows these days, of course.
What, sorry?
Cork minnows, of course, in the LGFA world these days, you know.
Well, they've lost their opening two Munster championship games. So there's there's been a...
Not like the old days, Rachel.
Not like the old days, the golden days. It's been 10 years as well since we've won our Ireland final. So it's... It was great to get a bit of
it's
silver.
It's like Man United, though. They won enough at the time to last a lifetime. You know, you're never going to get anyone feeling sorry for you, like, you know?
No. We won the league this year, so hopefully a little bit of silverware, Mick, but I understand. Yeah. Even speaking to some of the Dublin players, like, they're just like, we used to just hate seeing that Cork jersey coming. We're like, it was such a psychological thing. We could be up by... I mean, even that famous All-Ireland final, like we could be up by 10 or 12 points and we'd see that red jersey coming and it would just, something in them would click. So I understand. We're not going to get any sympathy.
It's great that it's on before the men's game in Clarny, because that's actually a really, really big occasion now as well. So, all right, enjoy it. Rachel, thanks a mil for popping in.
Football on Off the Ball.
There was an ad for 4 tickets to the final at a cost of $2.3 million each. $2.3 million each for a ticket to the final,
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at Off the Ball.com/join